Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I am rejoicing this morning because I am a champion. Again, thank you so much, Morning Glory Nation, for a great work from First Lady, Pastor Minister Marcy Wilson. What a great day. God is good, and I am grateful, thankful, and blessed to be with you again this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And all I can say, it is a great word this morning. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever is our title, and we are coming out of the 52nd Psalm. But I tell you, it comes and it goes right along with our word today, because when we trust in God, everything else falls into place. Everything falls into place. You know, you don't have to worry about this. You ain't got to worry about that, because it falls into place when you trust in the Lord. You trust God that you're going to wake up when you go to sleep at night, don't you? You trust God that you're going to wake up the next morning. And when you get up in your day, you trust God that you will make it to the evening to go to sleep again. And then through all that day, you trust God that you will go to work and get what you got to get done, and that all things will work for your good because you trust in the Lord. So we have to trust in the Lord in all things, because God gave us the greatest gift we could ever have. He gave us his son. Hallelujah. I'm grateful this morning to have another day. I have a do-over. Somebody did not get a do-over this morning. Somebody did not get an opportunity to have a new day. Somebody did not. You know, all we can say is we can only say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can y'all say that with me this morning? You know, there's a new song out by CeCe Winans, The Goodness of God. And I was listening to that word, you know, that song. You know, I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life, you have been faithful. And all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. We all have been through the fire. I love this song. The words are right on point. Especially if you're a person that deals with issues with breathing. And lately I've had some issues with bronchitis. And when she said this, she said, you know, with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And every breath that I am able, I feel I will speak of the goodness of God. Can't always sing it, but I'm surely going to speak it as long as the Lord gives me breath. And I love this. As I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Because all my life, we all have had this moment in our life. All my life, you, God has been faithful. Oh, yes, you have, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me. That you can't do nothing but want to run and shout that the Lord's goodness is running after you. It says, with my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything, O Lord. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. Hallelujah. And again, all my life, you, God, have been faithful. And all my life, you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I'm just going to add a little word to it. Oh, God, I'm going to speak. I'm going to sing. I'm going to do everything I can because your goodness, God, whew, has been, you have been so good. As the song ends, it says, all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you've been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. So I say this morning, as we sing, as we speak of the goodness of God, let us never forget to trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Because all our lives, God has been faithful. All our lives, God has been good. And we are blessed by his mercy, which is run after us. He's that good of God. And I'm grateful that he's been running after me. Because God knows we as children can get away from a parent. And they got to chase us down to get us back on track. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father God, good morning and thank you. I am thankful, grateful, and blessed to be your child. I am grateful, thankful, and blessed that you have been so, so good to me, God. I am thankful, grateful, and blessed that you gave me an opportunity for a do-over with a new day, Lord. But Lord God, you know everything about me. You know my ups, you know my downs, you know my good, you know my bad, you know my downright ugly. Father God, I just ask you to never give up on me. Because, Lord, I will never give up on you. For you have been so good. You have been faithful to me. You have been there for me through the ups, through the downs. You have been there for all of us, God. For your word says you will never leave us or forsake us. And, God, I know you have not forsaken your children. Because you are a great, great Father. That's who you are. And we are loving and children that love you, God. I love you, God. And I'm thankful that you adopted me. I'm thankful that you allowed me into your family. I'm thankful that you covered me with your loving wings and with your grace and your mercy through your Son and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Father God, I lift up this word today asking you to increase as your daughter decreases, asking that this word touches someone's heart, someone's mind, someone's spirit, that when they are finished hearing it, they will say, if they are not saved already, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to get into the family of the Most High? What must I do to give my life to Christ? Father God, we ask that you give them an understanding, confess your sin, and give yourself to the Most High. Father God, I repent of anything I have done, I have said in thought, in word, or in deed against your divine majesty or anyone else, Lord God. I ask you, Father God, to forgive me before I go forth in your word, that I'll go forth with a clean heart, clean mind, and a righteous spirit within me. In the name of Christ Jesus, Father God, again, I lift this word up asking you, increase as I decrease, for you, Lord God, are my strength. You are my redeemer. You are my hope in the future. You are the breath that I breathe. You are the song that I sing. For you have been so faithful and so good to your daughter. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. 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 For this day that you have made, I rejoice and am glad in it. In Jesus' name, let this word go forth in excellence. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, family. I am on fire. You got to get your feeling up. I got filled up this morning. Thanks to, again, Pastor Marcy, Silvers Wilson of Morning Glory Nation. You are on Facebook. Join the Morning Glory Nation family. You will be blessed. And for those that are joining us, continue coming and coming to, with us to Bible study. Tell a friend to call 213-943-3597 and join the Bible study. That's all this is. We're gonna, our goal and my assignment is to read the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation in a year. Every year, January 1st, God willing, we start off with Genesis chapter 1 and end every year with Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. We got to understand that the word of God never stops. One day, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And that is how the word of God ends, with grace. Because Jesus is grace that God has given us. So let's get into our word this morning because you don't want to miss anything. And this is Old Testament Friday. I can't believe it's Friday already, but it is. So this is Old Testament Friday, and we will be in the book of Ruth, and we will have Psalms and Proverbs. And if time permits, we will be in 1 Samuel, starting a new book this morning, if God, if time permits. But our Ruth word, Psalm and Proverbs today, absolutely. And if we do not get to 1 Samuel today, we will get to 1 Samuel on Sunday with our New Testament word. Come join me in the book of Ruth, chapter 3 through chapter 4. And I just want to say, Ruth trusted God when she left her home and followed her mother-in-law. Ruth trusted God when she went out to the field to glean, to make sure that her mother-in-law and she had food to eat. Ruth trusted God that all things will work for the good of she and Naomi. And then Boaz saw this beautiful woman. He said, I'm going to trust God that that lady's going to be my wife. So let's see what happens. Y'all excited? You're always talking about, I'm going to have my Boaz. I got my tea. So I hope you got your tea this morning, too, because you're getting ready to get into a love story. So let's go. And it says this. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now, Boaz, whose young women you were with, is not or is he not a relative? In fact, he is mowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. And she said, all that you say to me, I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet, And he said, who are you? So she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. Ruth is like, hey, don't get anything else out of your mind. I'm not here for anything but to get protection from my mother-in-law myself. That's what she says. I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. Then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Come on now. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Also he said, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? She told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, till you know how the manna will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the manna this day. Naomi was like, hey, I'm making sure this girl gets taken care of. I won't live forever. And I know she's a foreigner in this country, and I don't want nobody messing with my baby, because she had become Naomi's baby. She had become Naomi's daughter. She had become her girl, and she was not going to let her daughter go without. Come on now. That's what mothers do. We take care of our daughters, whether they're your biological daughter, your spiritual daughter, your goddaughter, your adopted daughter, your friend's daughter that you took under your wing, whatever, she's yours. I thank God for my daughter. She's a beautiful young woman, and I'm grateful to have her in my life. We got to, hey, you got to get where God gives you. God gave Naomi her daughter because Ruth is her daughter. You know, Ruth may have had a biological mama, but she became hers the day she said, your God will be my God. Where did thou goest? Come on now. She let her know, I'm going with you. I'm not letting you go to no back to Bethlehem. I'm not letting you go back to Judah. I'm not letting you go where anywhere. What she say, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything, but death parts you and me. She said, you are that, she, that day, Ruth adopted Naomi as her mother, and Naomi accepted Ruth as her daughter. You got to know who your child is. And she was making sure she got her child secured. So let's keep it going. Chapter 4 of the book of Ruth. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, come aside, friend, sit down here. So he came aside and sat down, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. Then he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. Can't get it out this morning. Amimelech. Whew, Jesus. And I thought to inform you, saying, but it buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. But there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabite of the dead to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. And the close elder says, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm anything, one man took off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore the close elder said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal, and Boaz said to the relatives, to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have brought all that was Elimelech, and all that was Chilion and Mahlon from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife, go on with yourself, to perpetuate the name of the dead, through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his physician. At the gate you are witnesses this day. And all the people who were at the gate, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephraim and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez from Tamar bore to Judah, because the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. Whew, what a word. I'm going to read that again because it's just so good. That's a highlightable in my Bible. It says, and all the people who were at the gate. And the elder says, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel. Come on now. And Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. Didn't mention Zayla and the other, I don't even remember her name. The two other two mamas, just the ones that were the married mamas. You know, come on now. And it goes on, but they were, again, the maidservants, children, belong to Rachel and to Leah because they adopted them in. And, you know, again, adoption all through this word. Why? Because they all trusted in God. And it goes on to tell us, it says, and the two who built the house of Israel, may your prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. And they were. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. Understand, Tamar had to go through some stuff to get Perez. Because Judah wasn't doing right. So understand, God always puts a place marker for things that must be done. Ruth was supposed to be in the lineage of Christ because Jesus is inclusive. And that is what we must remember. We have an inclusive Savior. He's not just for this group or that group. He's for all of us. Our Savior died for all of us because he's inclusive. He is, as you know, you have folks talking about, I'm multi-this. Jesus was multiracial. Jesus was multi-everything. Jesus was all of ours. All of ours. He belonged to you. He belongs to me. He belongs to everyone on this planet. All they have to do is accept him into their life. And it goes on to tell us, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Abinadab. Abinadab begot Nashon. And Nashon begot Solomon. Solomon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. Hallelujah. There is the lineage of Christ. We are blessed to trust in the Lord today. Are you trusting God this morning? Because I can tell you, he will take you farther than anything you could ever imagine. Boaz got his Ruth, and Ruth got her Boaz. And Naomi got her Obed. Hallelujah. Everybody live happily ever after. Come on now, because we are blessed beyond measure because we trust in the Lord. And as we continue in our word this morning, just some life lessons from Ruth. The first is from Ruth chapter 3, verse 10, and I thank you, Dr. Stanley, for this life lesson. You have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men. Ruth was not fast. As they say, she was not a fast sailor. Ruth was a woman of virtue. She came in, she did her job, and she took that stuff home to her mother-in-law. She came in, she gleaned, and she left. She wasn't chasing after nobody. She wasn't flirting with nobody. She wasn't doing anything but what she was supposed to do. She was a virtuous woman, and that is what we as women who are unmarried should be, virtuous. We should be virtuous women. If you don't get a husband, then that just means that the Lord God is your husband. Until God sends you your boys, you don't need to be looking. Because the one for you, God will send your way when it's time. Hallelujah. That's the one thing I can tell you. God will send who belongs to you. I'm grateful that my God sent mine when I was 13 years old. I didn't know he was going to be mine. Because I wasn't thinking about boys at 13 years old. I was thinking about being on the cheer team or being in the pom-poms and doing whatever it was I was doing for God with my Salvation Army Girl Guard troop. I was not thinking about nobody, but he became my friend. And I'm grateful for the friendship, for the years of correspondence, you know, for just being a nice man. A nice young man, because he was only when I met him, and I was 13, and he had decided at 17 years old that one day I was going to be his wife. And I'm thinking, how do you know that? But he told me that I knew when I met you, and you smiled at me, that you was going to be my wife one day. I said, you were 17 years old. What you talking about, a wife? He said, I just knew. Don't that make you feel good all the way down to just to your inner? When somebody tells you that they loved you at first sight and knew they was going to marry you. And I remember how you do it the right way and how we need to teach our sons. You know, these kids are online texting and doing all kind of stuff when they need to be asking permission. He wrote my parents a beautiful letter asking permission to write me while he was away in college just to be my friend. And that's what we did. And every letter, my parents read it because it was not... There wasn't none minute that was inappropriate except for stay in school, you know, do what you're supposed to do, obey your parents kind of stuff. Good, awesome letters. He tell me when he pledged his fraternity. You know, I didn't understand all that stuff at the time. Got to later on. But, you know, just always wholesome and nice and letters I could share with my parents because they read them just like I did. And he'd have, you know, something anecdotal. He'd have you laughing in the letter because he writes something that happened at school. Just nice. I got old enough to be a girlfriend, a future wife. We got engaged the right way. And then we got married the next year after I graduated from high school and business school. Everything I wanted to accomplish in my life, I was able to accomplish. I was able to go to school and get my degree. I was able to get a good job. I was able to do the things in the church that I needed to do. Everything I needed to do, doors were opened by my husband through the Lord God to do it because he was my cousin. And I tell every young woman, don't just go out with who did it and baby daddy. Make sure that whoever that God sends you, that you trust in the Lord, send your Boaz, that he is a Boaz and not a bozo. As we get ready to celebrate Mother's Day, so many mothers are out there and so many children are out there with our daddies because we chose bozo instead of waiting on the Boaz. So I say today, as we can move forward in your life, and I'm speaking to my single ladies out there, to the unmarried, God's got your Boaz. God's got your husband. God's got the one for you. All you have to do is wait on the Lord and trust that he will send the one for you. I'm blessed that I had 32 years. And I added it up one day. 3 + 2 = 5. God gave me grace. And so I'm grateful. If God never sends another, know that I had the best. Hallelujah, because God gave them to me. And as we continue in our word in Ruth chapter 3, verse 18, the life lesson, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter. There is a time to act and there is a time to wait. Come on, y'all. When we have done what we should do, we must wait to see what God will do. Are you doing what you're supposed to do so you can wait on the Lord? I say, wait, that's the word. We got to wait on God. Everything is not going to go quick and in a hurry. God is not a microwave, and he is definitely not an ATM. God is our Father, and he will do things in his time. All we have to do is be patient and, again, trust in him. And in Ruth chapter 4, verse 11, may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. And that is what happened. The elders of Bethlehem had no way of knowing that the blessing they pronounced upon Boaz would come abundantly true, for the child to come of the new couple would be and of Jesus Christ. Can y'all say amen? And another life lesson is from Ruth chapter 4, verse 15. Your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than 7 sons, has borne him. Naomi had lost 2 sons, but in a devoted and virtuous daughter-in-law, she found someone better than 7 sons, and in the end, a grandson who gave her great joy in her old age. God loves to bless his faithful people. And as we go back for our life example from Ruth, Ruth, loyal to the end. After the death of her Hebrew husband, Ruth could have remained in her own culture, the expected and easier route, but instead chose to travel with Naomi, her mother-in-law, back to Bethlehem, a place totally foreign to her. Why? Because Ruth felt a fierce loyalty to this bereaved woman. Loyalty ties individuals together. True loyalty is seldom easy. It takes both patience and a willingness to be inconvenient. Genuinely loyal people adjust their schedules to meet the needs of those they serve. Loyalty often comes at a price. Ruth, for example, made a tremendous sacrifice by leaving her family and friends behind in order to serve Naomi. Ultimately, however, godly loyalty tends to pay big dividends. God saw Ruth's deep, abiding loyalty and rewarded her by giving her a loving husband, a beautiful son, and most of all, by placing her in the family line of Jesus Christ. Can y'all say, God is good? All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. All we can say is, thank you, God, for your goodness that has run after us. Thank you, God, for your for your mercy. And our word this morning is coming out of Psalm chapter 52, verses 69. And it says this, the righteous also shall see and fear, and shall laugh at him, saying, here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. That's got to be a verse you need to learn. I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. Are you waiting on the name of God this morning? Are you trusting in God this morning? Are you letting God run after you? Are you ready to move forward? And as we go into the 53rd Psalm, it says this, to the chief musician, set to Mahalath, a contemplation of David. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my bread as they eat bread and do not call upon God? There they are in great fear, where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him who encamps against you. You have put them to shame because God has despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. When God brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Who God is there? All we got to do is chasing after God today. The 54th Psalm, verses 1 through 7. To the chief musician with string instruments, a contemplation of David. When the Zephites went and said to Saul, is David not hiding with it? And the word that David spoke was, save me, O God, by your name. Again, David was trusting in God, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil, cut them off in their truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. But he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire for my enemies. David didn't play. He spoke what he had to say and said what he needed to say. And as we go into our proverb this morning, just a couple of things about our psalm. And our title again is, I Trust in the Mercy of God Forever and Ever. Ruth trusted in the mercy of God. And as we continue, that God will never run out of mercy or love or grace. There will never come a day when he will say, you know what? I'm tired. Come back in a month. Because he never changes. We can have unchanging hope. Because God doesn't change. We don't have to worry. And as we go into Proverbs chapter 15, verses 67, and it says, in the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. We don't want to be foolish in our life. We want to have a heart for God. And as we continue in Proverbs chapter 15, starting in verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Are you praying this morning? Are you lifting up the name of Jesus today? The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. Hard discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. So how much more the heart of the sons of men? And as we finish up this proverb word, it says this, a scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. And we talked about this on yesterday. There are folks that just don't want any correction. They want to do them. I'm going to do me. I heard that term so many times. I'm going to tell my truth. Okay. And what does that mean? Your truth. Because the truth is the truth. Whether it's your truth or somebody else's truth, the truth is the truth and a lie is a lie. And if your truth is a lie, then it's not a truth, it's a lie. So we need to understand that we have to be careful what we say. And as we continue in this word, it says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. You know, and as we go through some life lessons from these Psalm and Proverbs words this morning, you know, we have to understand who we belong to. You are children of the Most High God, and he loves you. He loves you more than you could ever imagine and more than you love yourself. And when we go back over to Psalm 54 and 6, it says, I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. What does it mean to freely sacrifice to God? It means that we willingly and gladly put something precious of ours on the line for God, knowing that it all belongs to him and that we can never outgive God. We can never outgive God, family. God is good all the time. And the thing is, he loves us. And we got to trust in him again. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Are you trusting in the mercy of God this morning? Are you giving over you to him? Are you knowing who you belong to? And this morning in our word, if you have an opportunity over this weekend to read 1 Samuel, verse chapters 1 through 5, which we will be studying on Sunday, because I'm not sure I'm going to have time to get into the whole of 1 Samuel today. But we will go in and look at what we're going to learn in 1 Samuel. I will try to maybe get in a chapter of 1 Samuel this morning also, if time permits, which I believe it will. But 1 Samuel, this is about the author, not stated. Samuel himself was likely involved, though some of the history of 1 Samuel occurs after the prophet's death. Probably written was about 1,000 years before Christ, about, it says, 1100 to 1000 B.C. In 10 words or less, Israel's 12 tribes unite under a king. They were determined to get a king because they wanted to be like everybody else because they didn't know how to trust in the mercy of God. But we must trust in God's mercy. And the details, please, of 1 Samuel. An infertile woman, Hannah, begged God for a son, promising to return him to the Lord's service. Samuel is born and soon sent to the temple to serve under the aging priest Eli. Upon Eli's death, Samuel serves as judge or deliverer of Israel, subduing the nation's fearsome enemy, the Philistines. As Samuel ages, Israel's tribal leaders reject his sinful son and ask for a king. Samuel warns that a king will tax the people and force them into service, but they insist, and God tells Samuel to anoint the nobly tall and handsome Saul as Israel's first ruler. King Saul starts well, but begins making poor choices. And when he offers a sacrifice to God, a job reserved for priests, again, Saul got out of his lane and decided to go into somebody else's lane and messed up. Because what did the Lord say? Obedience is better than sacrifice. But he thought he could do it because it was the priest was taking too long. And I want to do what I want to do. Understand, you got to learn how to have patience. Saul didn't have patience and lost the kingdom because of it. And it says here, same to Saul, that he will be replaced. Saul's successor will be a shepherd named David, who with God's help kills a giant Philistine warrior named Goliath and becomes Israel's hero. The jealous king seeks to kill David, who runs for his life. David rejects opportunities to kill Saul himself, saying, I will not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. David's like, I ain't messing with Saul. I know he's anointed by God. At the end of 1 Samuel, Saul dies battling the Philistines, making way for David to become king. And some quotables from 1 Samuel. The Lord said unto Samuel, they have not rejected thee, but have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And that is chapter 8, verse 7. And what I just quoted, 15 to 22, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. That's verse 15, chapter 15, verse 22 of 1 Samuel. And then as we continue, it says, then said David to the Philistine Goliath, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And that's chapter 17, verse 45. Unique and unusual, the future king Saul is a donkey herder, 9 and 5, who tries to hide from his own coronation. Chapter 10, verses 21 through 22. As king, Saul breaks his own law by asking a medium to call up the spirit of the dead Samuel, chapter 28. So what? In this word, selfish choices, such as Israel's request for a king and Saul's decision to offer a sacrifice he had no business making, can have heavy, even tragic consequences. Understand it. What we will learn in 1 Samuel is selfish choices have consequences. And that is when you don't trust in the mercy of God. So as we finish up today, we're going to start in 1 Samuel. Hopefully we can get through chapter 1 today. And we will finish it up on Sunday. And in today's word, again, trust is a big, huge word in our word. And it says this in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathim, Zophim, of the mountain of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Joram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zophah, an Ephraimite, and he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hephani and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. Although the Lord had closed her womb, and her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O God, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaining grief, I have spoken until now. I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. She was trusting in the Lord's mercy. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her, the night until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephod of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. But this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship in the Lord there. Again, Hannah trusted in the mercy of God, and God gave her the desire of her heart to be a mom. And just some life lessons from 1 Samuel chapter 1, and then we have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and our prayer and thought for the day, and we will wrap it up. And then on Sunday, God willing, we will be back together, and we will finish 1 Samuel through chapter 5 and our New Testament words. Today we have finished the book of Ruth. We have read our Psalms, our Proverbs, and one chapter of 1 Samuel. And to get into the life lesson from this word this morning, which still all goes to the theme of our word for today, is I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Hannah trusted God, just as Ruth trusted God, just as Naomi trusted God, just as Boaz trusted God. And it says in 1 Samuel 1 and 5, the Lord has closed her womb. The Lord closed Hannah's womb, not Satan, not an accident, not nature. He is sovereign, and he does 435. God used Hannah's grief to bring forth Samuel, and gave her great joy. Hannah faced a battle she could not win on her own. When she finally fought that battle on her knees, she won a great victory. So can we. Are you fighting your battles on your knees today, family? And our next life lesson is a life example. And it says, Hannah asking in faith. Hannah is an excellent biblical example of asking in faith. She had married a man named Elkanah, and so had someone else. Though through the years, Elkanah's second wife, Manaiah, bore several sons and daughters to him while Hannah remained barren. Hannah longed for a baby of her own. Finally, one year, Hannah went to the doorway of the tabernacle and wept and prayed to the Lord in great anguish, asking for a son and vowing to give him to the Lord. The Lord heard Hannah's request and answered it. 9 months later, she bore a son named Samuel, who grew up to become the prophet and judge of all Israel. Would Samuel have been born if Hannah had not asked God to give her a son? The Bible seems to answer, no. Samuel appeared on the scene in direct response to Hannah's heartfelt request. Again, she trusted in the mercy of God forever and ever. She knew that her daddy God would answer her prayer, and he did. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 18, the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Hannah left behind her grief, not when her circumstances changed. They hadn't. But after she poured out her soul to the Lord, because of her grief, she connected with the Lord on a level she had never known. And we have to connect to the Lord on a level we have never known. I'm grateful that God allowed me to read his word this morning and that you were able to listen in. And I say one more time, I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Are you trusting God this morning, family? We got to trust him. And as our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, talked about faith, right there again with trust. Faith and trust go hand in hand. And Sister Carolyn's word for this morning is this. Faith in God includes faith in his timing. Can the church say amen? Right on point. You have to believe in the process. Have a faith-filled Friday. And let's call it straight. Ruth believed in the process. Ruth waited on the Lord, just like her mother-in-law told her to do what she needed to do. And God heard their petition and was with them forever and ever. And this is a word for this morning. Thankful in trials. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith, there it is, talking faith again, reduces endurance and lets endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. God, you are an ever-present help in time of trouble. There it is. The Lord, trust in the Lord and his mercy forever and ever. Look at my life and see what I am up against. I can't pretend I don't have concerns. But Lord, when I look at your word, I am reminded of the fruit that comes from faith and trials. I will not despair for the troubles I am experiencing, knowing that no one is immune to hard times. Your grace is sufficient in each and every one. Let me endure the test of my faith with the joy of foresight that sees that pressure produces beautiful treasures. Without intense pressure and times of darkness, there wouldn't be gems of many kinds, including diamonds. When I am walking through the darkness of a trial, may I remember that the most precious treasures are created in those situations. I yield to you even now, asking for your heavenly perspective to help me through. And that is our question for today, is this. What can you be thankful for in the trial you are facing? Thank God this morning and trust in him. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from the other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, family. It's time to go to work. And I say one more time before we get out of here together that we must trust in the Lord. Trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. And I tell you this, he will send you your Boaz. He will send you your Samuel. He will send you whatever you need, because God is in charge of everything. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap.